Hello and welcome to the Hall of Fame Video Game Podcast, starring Matt Levy and Mike Staub. We love video games and have embarked on a journey to index the greatest video games of all time into our very own Hall of Fame. Here's the show. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Matt Levy, and me and Mike are doing our semi-monthly, quarterly check-in as far as what we've been playing. So we recorded these segments separately, and you'll hear Mike's game shortly. I'll start you off with things that I've been playing, and it's been kind of eventful, I'd say, over December, January, catching up on some older games, checking out some new stuff. It's been a really good mix lately. I feel like I've been playing games that I want to play, which is a weird thing. We should always play games we want to play, but sometimes I'm fascinated to check something out and I kind of push myself through a game or someone recommends something out of curiosity. But here I kind of went after some games that I just genuinely wanted to play, and it's nice. So over on the Switch in the fall, we got the Arkham Trilogy, which is sort of like false advertising because you're really only getting the first two games in a actual playable form. And I will explain. First, you have Arkham Asylum, which I 100%ed this time around. It's probably my fourth or fifth time 100%ing. And the experience on the Switch is really good. If you have not played Arkham Asylum before, this is the time to play it. It is one of the top 20 games for me all time, maybe top 10 depending on the day. It's an all-time game. It reinvented superhero video games. It made them credible. It made them good. Combat is phenomenal. Detective, traversal. It feels nice exploring the game, and the port is really good. It's not the best it's ever looked, but it plays really well. This is not a bad port at all. Unless you're on like a high-end PC, it looks fine. Next, you have Arkham City, which is the sequel. And I didn't quite 100% that because there are a lot of Riddler trophies and time is not what it used to be for me. But I did 100% all of the side missions and complete everything that I wanted to in Batman and Catwoman's missions. And the game is really a masterpiece. It's very different than Asylum. So some people might like one over the other because the game opens up. It's a bigger world. There's more to do in it, but equally as gratifying and enjoyable. The port is just as good. I didn't have any issues with Arkham City. The game looks and plays really well on the Switch, especially portably, which it's just, if you had told me 10, 15 years ago that I'd be able to play these games on an OLED screen, it really is something that we take for granted. So those two experiences are phenomenal. It makes the trilogy worth buying if you can get it for a good price. I think I got on the eShop for about, $40. Now, there is a third game here, which is Arkham Knight. I booted it up just out of curiosity to see what this experience was like because the game was very demanding on my high-end PC when it came out and even struggled on current-gen consoles at that time. But I thought, hey, maybe it's another impossible port like Witcher 3. Well, that is not the case. The game looks muddy. It runs really sluggish. It really makes the game feel hard to play. I guess if this is the absolutely only place you could play it, you could push your way through it, but it was really painful. And I usually tolerate poor performance, little dips in frame rates, but this was beyond anything that I had really experienced. So I would say pass there. It's a shame we didn't get Arkham Origins, which is really a fine game. It wasn't by Rocksteady, that was by WB Montreal, but that game would have ported nicely over to the Switch and is a really good underrated experience. So those are the Arkham games that I'm probably not going to jump back to anytime soon. It was great to revisit them on the Switch. And then I jumped over to Prince of Persia. The newest Prince of Persia game came out just this past month, The Lost Crown. And I played it on the Switch where it actually was built from the ground up on the Switch, and then they added additional lighting and reflections and things to other consoles. But because it is made first and foremost on the Switch, it runs really well on the Switch and looks really good. So I only played the demo. I played roughly about an hour, I would say. And the game definitely is well made, The tutorial section does a good job of teaching you the different components of traversal and combat. I don't know if it's something I'm going to buy. I think I'm going to look for a sale on this. I don't know if I'm going to pay the full price. Not that it's not worth it. There's just other things I'm playing right now that I'm prioritizing. But I do think they did a really good job mixing the components of the 3D Prince of Persia games and made it into a 2D Metroidvania, like the original Prince of Persia games that were 2D platformers. So it's a really nice hybrid, and I hope more games and franchises go to this formula, and I hope it does well. I know it's been getting a lot of recognition from gamers, but it takes a lot more to make it to a mainstream, to make it a successful game. Next, we jump over to Final Fantasy V, the Pixel Remaster on the Switch. I had beaten 4 this past year, and my next blind spot in my Final Fantasy journey is number 5. And the first thing I'm noticing playing, and I'm probably about 4 to 5 hours in, is the job classes, and changing all the job systems is much more intricate. You can't just pick a job and kind of ride or die with that character, because you'll have trouble versus certain bosses and enemies. So you have to almost play with the jobs as you go and make sure that your characters are sort of leveled up in each job before you move on. And it's just a different way to play, and I'm wrapping my mind around it. I know Mike loves a good job class. He loves this, got a lot of job classes. Every time I beat a boss, it's like, here's 4 more job classes. I'm like, God, come on. But it does add another extra layer. I like simplicity in my RPGs. That's just how I am. I don't want to spend too much time in menus, but I do appreciate the system and how intricate and developed it was for the time. And I'm learning when a blue mage and a red mage and a black mage, and when all these things are necessary, and a thief and a knight. It is fun to explore and really figure out on my own. But there are some bosses I ran up against and I just couldn't do any damage. And then I changed up some job classes and found out that was the key to it. So I am enjoying it so far. The characters are growing on me. It takes a bit in an RPG to get going, to know your party. But so far, I've had the same 4 people since I started. And I don't know how much the party changed in this game. I assume there's other characters coming. But I have been enjoying it. I do plan on finishing it. And most of these pixel remasters have little boosts in the game where I can hide from encounters. I can get more money or more experience. So here and there, if I don't feel like grinding, I will turn those boosters, those sliders on. And I appreciate that, because being a almost 40-year-old gamer, I don't have the time to play a 40-hour RPG all the time, especially when the amount of games there are to play. The next one is Mario vs. DK, another Switch game. And this one just came out this past week. And I never played the Game Boy Advance, the original game. I was not always big on the portable systems. I always was on the GameCube, the Wii. I was never on the handheld systems for much more than a game or two. And I really wanted to experience this game because I heard good things. I heard it was a nice, from Donkey Kong 94, this was kind of like the next step in the series. And it's cute. The art that's redone for the Switch looks really cartoony and smooth. Has kind of that new Super Mario Brothers look to it. DK, I love when he's being mischievous and being the bad guy. That's always fun. And this whole toy factory, these Mario toys, it's a cute little storyline. But the levels themselves have a lot of interesting puzzles, hitting different colored blocks to allow you to go down different paths, looking for keys. The platforming and traversal, it does feel a little antique in some ways, that you do feel like the mobility is something from an older time. It's something that I'm fine with, but I know that some younger generations are going to see this and go, why can't I do this? Why can't I jump like it's Odyssey or Super Mario Wonder? It's a little more limited, but you can do these somersaults and triple jumps. So the platforming is there. It's just not as easy as it would be like a Mario Wonder, just to move back and forth and jump and slide and whatnot. But it's great. We're several worlds in. I'm playing with my son. They did make it more accessible, making a casual mode, which the biggest difference there is they take out the timer. So what's nice about that is you can play this game and not feel like you're being rushed by a timer. And sometimes that's nice, even in one-player mode, just be able to explore the level, try and find all the gifts, which are like the bonuses to get on each level, And I don't think this is the type of game that's going to be a 10, 15, 20-hour game. I heard you can beat it in 4 to 5 hours, and I'm probably getting close to that point. But sometimes it's a nice snack. Sometimes you don't want to always bite into a steak. You don't always want to eat a full cheese pizza. You just want a slice. You just want a little bite. So Mario versus DK is a great bite at $50. There is a demo on the eShop. Give it a shot. Check it out. I think you might find that there's more there than the average person who sees the trailer goes, eh, that's too kiddish. No, this game's got some meat on it, and it does get actually challenging as you move forward. Now, as far as games I'm looking forward to right now on the horizon, as this comes out, we're only days away from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is obviously the sequel to Final Fantasy VII Remake. And we don't really know what we're going to get in terms of story. The first game changed some things up, and we're expecting the same thing. There's the play on our nostalgia and knowledge and sort of put their own twist on it, which I love. That game was probably my game of the generation. As much as I love Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, for some reason, a Final Fantasy VII Remake hit me in some different spots, and I just keep coming back to it. I'm really excited for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I did not play the demo. I heard there were some performance issues that they were working out, and I just want to dive into the game. I don't want to like bite into part of it. There's some games where a demo, I want to try it. There's nothing I need to try about this game. I already pre-ordered it, and I'm going to be playing it nonstop when it comes out. And then before Final Fantasy VII Rebirth comes out at the end of February, we have Dragon Ball Z Kakarot DLC Pack 6 coming out February 21st. So right when you guys get this episode out, you will be hearing, I'll probably, as you hear this, I'll be playing it back home, probably only another 2 hour, 3 hour DLC pack. But I love coming back to another story, another saga in DBZ. This is more ground focused again, which I enjoy the whole ground combat. But I don't know if this is the end. This is all they've marketed or discussed thus far. I do wonder if they are going to go into more stories, more sagas, more movies with more another DLC season pack. I would love that. They can have my money. But this is the last one announced. So that's really all I've been really playing lately. I would jump in for a little bit here and there with my son in Castle Crashers, a little Shredder's Revenge, a little Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, some really good cooperative games. I've been in the cooperative mood lately. I hosted a cooperative gaming night where some of my buddies came over and we played some co-op gaming, whether it was Mario Wonder, Shredder's Revenge, Marvel Ultimate Alliance. We had a lot of fun. It was definitely a great night, and I hope to do that again soon because gaming nights with the boys is definitely a fun time. But that's all we got from me, Mike. I know you've been playing some games lately, and I'm going to throw it over to you.
Hey everyone, and welcome to my part of this check-in where we're talking about what we've been playing lately and what type of stuff has been interesting to us. It is a new year, and it's really strange because normally the beginning part of the year, like January, February, even March for, I don't know, the decades, really, video gaming has been kind of quiet. Not really a lot going on, not really a lot of interesting stuff, normally. There have been outliers where years like 2005, you have Resident Evil 4 that comes out like 2 or 3 weeks into the year, and then some other years where you've had some stuff kind of sprinkled in early. It seems like the lull after the holidays and the beginning of the new year is gone, and we are immediately hit with incredible games like right out the gate. While that's amazing, and it's great that there's really no slow time anymore in terms of video games, both for the business itself and as us as hobbyists, it does raise this kind of concern that there's just too much to play, and there are things that we're just never going to get to them. I've bought a bunch of games at the end of last year. Obviously, there are sales that are always happening, and new games at the beginning of the year because I want to get them, especially if it's a physical release and it's not a super popular game and I might not be able to get my hands on it. So I'm stuck with like all these games that I'll probably never get to. And I stopped worrying about a backlog. I stopped thinking about a backlog. I think it's pointless to think about that type of thing because in the end, I'm just going to play what I want to play because it's good and because I like it. But the year started off with me finishing Final Fantasy 16, which I thought was an excellent game. It was a game that I really enjoyed, something that I put down for a while, not on purpose. Like, it wasn't like a major decision for me to say, hey, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to put it down. I'm not going to come back to it. I actually came back to it at the end of 2023 and played it pretty much through the holidays and into 2024 and pretty much spent the first month or so of 2024, playing Final Fantasy 16, finishing the first bout of DLC that they released, and doing all the side quests, tying up all the loose ends, doing all the big beast hunts. Now, this game is not a traditional Final Fantasy game. I know a lot of folks like to say it's like Devil May Cry. It is a little bit like Devil May Cry. It's much more action-focused. It's much more action-based. But I really think it's one of the best games out there in that kind of action RPG, especially when we're talking about the production value. It was easily on my best games of 2023 list. Now that I've like really played even more of it and sunk close to 70 hours into the game, I'm probably even willing to bump it up on my ranking for 2023. I think I probably had it like 4 or 5 out of 10. Maybe it was out of the top 5 for 2023. But I think at this point, I would probably have Final Fantasy 16 definitely in my top 5, if not in my top 3 or 4 for 2023. I actually think it's a fantastic game and just a game I had a lot of fun with. If you're interested in kind of a more mature, darker fantasy action take on the series, I really suggest you take a look at it. It's got a lot of things in it that also make it very Final Fantasy, whether it's the crystals, the summons, the party that you kind of build over the course of the game. Like by the end of the game, you do actually have like a party of 3 or 4 characters, which is way more in line with how classic Final Fantasy was. It wasn't just the one guy doing everything on their own, even though a lot of the marketing would have you believe that. But on top of that, I thought it was just a really great experience. Some of the most, and I hate using this word, but some of the most epic cutscenes and boss fights I've had in a very, very, very long time. The whole kaiju fights that you have when you transform into the icons and use the abilities to fight all these other giant monsters is just really cool. It's tied really to the summon spirits that we've known for all these years, whether it be Ifrit or Ramu or Shiva or Titan or Bahamut or you name it. It's all those kind of summon beasts that you kind of get to use their abilities and do all this great stuff. And you made some really, really great characters. It is a little Games of Thrones-y, but to me, it's actually a little bit of Final Fantasy Tactics as well with the kind of seriousness of that kind of storytelling and more mature-based storytelling. And I don't know if it's going to be in the top of my favorite Final Fantasies of all time, but it's definitely not at the bottom. It's definitely way better, in my opinion, than games like Final Fantasy II, the Japanese Final Fantasy II, not the English Final Fantasy II, and Final Fantasy XIII, games I really don't care for. And yeah, so Final Fantasy XVI was what I kind of started the year off. I finished that. I didn't 100% complete it because there's a bunch of trophies I don't feel like getting. They're kind of head-scratching and nauseating, so I stayed away from that, but I probably finished 60 to 80% of what the game had to offer. And I think for me, for someone who is as howlongtobeat.com would describe as playthrough plus extras, I think that that's my way of playing the game, and I think a 70-hour experience is really, really rewarding when it comes to that. Next, I've gotten into some older stuff. So for those of you who are familiar with me on the show, that there are some devices that I have that I really, really enjoy. I have a Analog Pocket, which I would say is probably one of the best gaming devices I've bought in a very, very long time. I've had it for about a year. It's one of my favorite gaming devices. It's an incredible handheld device. I have the dock that goes alongside it so I can plug it into my TV. And I have it loaded with every core that they have imaginable, and the cores keep getting updated and more stuff keeps getting added to it, whether it be Neo Geo, whether it be the Capcom Play System, the CPS systems, the arcade games and things like that. So I've been sitting down with that a little bit and playing Marvel vs. Capcom on there, which is pitch perfect from the arcade version. This thing is really special, the Analog Pocket. For those of you who are kind of more acquainted and you're a little bit more into the hobby, it uses FPGA chips, which is field programmable chips that really do mimic the original consoles that these games were on. They're not emulated. They're actually the consoles. The chipsets are just very, very small. And the cores allow you to essentially run these games on original hardware. So I have been playing a bit of games like that. I've been playing Dracula X Rondo of Blood, which we would know as Castlevania over here, which is the PC Engine CD Castlevania game, which really never made its way over the United States originally. There was a PSP remake of the original. I believe they called it the Dracula X Chronicles. I don't quite remember if that's the exact name, but they did some sort of like 2.5D version of it on the PSP. been playing a little bit more Crisis Core, really prepping myself up for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which I think is going to be absolutely amazing. I think the big thing with that and the big tell-all is that Square has kind of released the embargo on that game. So once February 22nd comes around, a week before the game comes out, the embargo lifts, which for a video game is an immense showing of confidence in the quality. I think this game is going to surprise people, and I think it's going to blow people away. But Crisis Core just continues to be an amazing experience. It's such a great handheld experience. It's one of the most fun handheld experiences I've had in a long time, because you can easily pick it up and put it down. There's little missions you can do. There's plenty of stopping points, and it's just a really good game. Matt obviously loves this game. He talks about it a lot, and I agree with him fully. I think it's one of the coolest games out there, and if you're prepping to get more into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, knowing Zack's story is probably really beneficial to the player, because I think Zack is actually going to be a pretty big player in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. After that, I've been messing around with some files that I have. So a couple things. I recently modded my Wii to be able to, or I didn't mod it personally. A friend of mine, George Portugal, who is an all-around wizard and incredible guy who runs the company 1UP Restorations. Please Google them or try to find them online. He does incredible work. He modded my Wii to run on HDMI so I can run it on a modern display, and it looks unbelievable. And it has no lag and any of that stuff. It's really the best way to play these games on a modern display. And I just have that loaded up with Wii games, and I have that loaded up with GameCube games as well. So I've been kind of jumping in here and there and playing some old GameCube games like Wario World and playing some Wii games. I've become reacquainted with Super Mario Galaxy 2, which is a fantastic game. Just a game I really wanted to go back to and play some more of. And I got my Dreamcast HDMI modded as well, so I've been messing around there as well, playing some Cannon Spike, which is a really fun arcadey shooter type of game, which if you try to buy the disc is probably hundreds upon hundreds of dollars. And yeah, that's too much for me to spend on a video game, so I've been playing that on an HDMI modded Dreamcast as well. So that's very, very cool. And I've been messing around my PlayStation, which also has an OD in it, which is a disc emulator. And someone online took one of my favorite games of all time, Final Fantasy Tactics, which is, like I said earlier, one of my favorite games, especially when I was talking about Final Fantasy 16. And Final Fantasy Tactics, for those of you who don't know, was remade for the PSP and eventually ported to like iOS with a version of the game called The War of the Lions. And this is a better version of the game. It's a better translation of the game. It has better job classes. It has great guest characters. It has additional content. It has a lot of stuff, a lot of extra stuff. And it's unfortunate because for years, the only place you could play it was the PSP or maybe the PS Vita if you got like a downloadable version of it. And it's kind of lost to time. And they're not remaking it. There's no word on them remaking Final Fantasy Tactics, even though all of us hope that this game will get remade at some point soon. It's one of those things where it feels like it's never going to happen. So someone online, there's a group called Final Fantasy Hacktics, which they do a bunch of hacked versions of Final Fantasy Tactics. It's actually really, really cool. I was able to actually patch my Final Fantasy Tactics file, and I was able to patch it with something they called the Lion War of the Lions, which is essentially the PSP version of the game patched over the PS1 version of the game and playable on a PlayStation. So I have this hooked up to a Sony PVM, which is running through an RGB SCART, and it looks and sounds and plays incredibly with the better translation and the better FMV movies that they added for the PSP version, as well as all the extra classes and characters and stuff like that. So being able to sit down and play Final Fantasy Tactics again in a more modern context is always really, really, really good, and it is a terrific time. I absolutely love it, and it's been a great thing to kind of just sit down, put on for 20 minutes, play a couple battles, and then move on. And I love Final Fantasy Tactics, and seems like I always will. So it's really great to have this accessible with the better version of the game on a PlayStation and not necessarily on a little handheld device from 20 years ago. I'm also really excited because Capcom, who you all know I love almost too much, almost to a fault, Capcom has released the Ace Attorney Apollo Justice Trilogy, which are three games from the DS and the 3DS era, only one of which I've played, which is Apollo Justice Ace Attorney. I got into the Ace Attorney games with the Ace Attorney Trilogy on Switch. I bought that probably in 2020, and it's been one of my favorite things to play. I absolutely love that series. So when I got my DS modded, I immediately jumped to Apollo Justice Ace Attorney, and I was starting to play the second game in that series, and I forget which one is which. There's Spirit of Justice and Dual Destinies. I forget which one is second, but I started playing that on my 3DS, which I had purchased on a sale, and I heard that Capcom was going to essentially port the trilogy and pretty much kind of remake the game, remaster it for Switch. So I picked that up and I'm making my way through that. And those games are just really great, fun, wacky, Capcom-y adventure games. So I highly suggest anyone who loves an adventure game or a visual novel to give that a try. There's a lot of great visual novels out there. And Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney was kind of my gateway into it, even though for real, it's Doki Doki Literature Club, which I love Doki Doki Literature Club. I think it's a very fascinating experience. It's something that I actually kind of want to sit down and play again in 2024. I want to kind of play the special version, the updated version. It was a game that's free on Steam, the original, and it's a game that totally took me by surprise about how much and how into it I was for a week or so. I was just obsessed with it, and I kept replaying it to get all the endings. It's a really great game, but if you really want to experience what like a visual novel or an adventure game is like, Ace Attorney is really good, and there are two excellent collections on all of the consoles, both the Apollo Justice and the Phoenix Wright collections that you can get now. I highly suggest you start with Phoenix Wright. It's usually on sale for like less than $10, and it's worth every penny and the amount of time you spend on it. In these games, you're probably getting 30 to 40 hours worth of gameplay for a very, very reasonable price. So I've been playing a lot of Apollo Justice as well. Last but certainly not least, one of the best RPGs I've played in a while. And I don't say that hyperbolically, I say that in general. Probably the best JRPG I've played since its predecessor, but at the end of January, I picked up Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Now, Sega has removed the Yakuza title from these games. So from here on out, they're going to be called pretty much the same thing they're called in Japan, just a translation of the name, which is Like a Dragon. And Like a Dragon was so good. The last one, Yakuza Like a Dragon, Yakuza 7, was so good. I loved it. It was such an interesting take on a classic RPG formula with the turn-based battles and job classes and all that, but it took place in a modern Yokohama with 40-something-year-old characters. And Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, the follow-up to that, connects Like a Dragon Yakuza 7 to the original Yakuza series, where you actually get to cross paths with the main character from the original Yakuza series. And this game, if anything, is as good as Yakuza 7 and probably better. It does everything that game does better. The combat's snappier. There's more team-based attacks. There's more environmental attacks. There's more stuff to do. It's just so good. If you're looking for a weird, kind of different take on a turn-based role-playing game, I highly suggest Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Now, you should play Yakuza 7 first because it is one story, but I don't think you really need to. I think the game does a good job at kind of catching you up at what happened in the last game so that you can hop right into the new game, kind of knowing and hitting the ground running. But I highly suggest it if you're a turn-based role-playing game fan. I love this game. I've probably already put close to 20 hours into it, and I do not regret a single minute putting into this game. I think it's incredible, and for a turn-based role-playing game in 2024, this is the way to do it. I have some others that are kind of sitting on the back burner that I haven't really touched. I still hop in and play Street Fighter VI a bunch. I still hop in and play Marvel Snap a bunch. I still play Magic the Gathering Arena a bunch. I did buy Persona 3 Reload, which is kind of sitting on my shelf, probably not getting played anytime soon, but it looks amazing, and I loved Persona 5. To just be able to play more games like that is just so enticing for me. So I'm really excited to play that, hopefully after I make my way through 100 hours of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. All right, friends, so thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Hopefully Matt's got some great stuff too. I imagine Matt's playing some awesome games. He's always playing awesome games. So thanks again, everyone, and we'll catch you next time when Matt and I are both back together.
Excellent. That was awesome, Mike. Thank you for sharing us what you've been playing lately. I do want to talk at this point about reviews. Please leave a review for us. It helps us so much. Apple, Google, wherever you can, please. If you could, check out our Instagram page where we are constantly posting about our newest episodes, what games we've been playing, what games we own, different content on there. And then shoot us an email as well. Be engaged with us. That'd be fun. Let us know what games you want us to talk about. So that is it for us this week. We will see you guys next time and play all those games.
From Mike and Matt, thank you for listening to the Hall of Fame Game Podcast. Check us out on Instagram at Hall of Fame Pod or email us at thehalloffamepod@gmail.com. Please leave us a review and be sure to tune in next time.